All right. It is 7 o'clock, and I'd like to call this meeting of the Summit Hills School Board to order. Mr. Faber, if we could have a roll call, please.
Ms. Murphy?
Here.
Mr. Martin?
Here.
Mrs. Serino?
Here.
Mr. Leonard?
Here.
Faber here. Mrs. Borgen?
Here.
Mr. Marin?
Here. We are all present and accounted for. With that, we will go ahead and move right into the action items on our agenda. We'll start with the consent agenda. The consent agenda is located on page 7 of your board book. At this time, can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the items on the consent agenda for this meeting as presented, including 3A1, approval of bills list for April 29, 2020, 3A2, approval of resignation of staff, including general penalty, effective at the end of the 2019-2020 school year, 3A3, approval of family medical leave extension for employee 2806, and 3A4, approval of employment of staff, including Julie Redican, special education teacher at Hilda Walker School for the 2020-2021 school year, Jim Duggan, social worker at Summit Hills Junior High for the 2020-2021 school year, and Dawn Scudery, media specialist at Summit Hills Junior High for the 2020-2021 school year.
No move.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or comments on this? Hearing none, can we have a roll call, please, Mr. Faber?
Ms. Murphy?
Aye.
Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Mrs. Serino?
Aye.
Mr. Leonard?
Aye.
Faber, aye. Mrs. Borgen?
Aye.
Mr. Marin?
Aye. And the motion carries. That takes us on to new business, and the first item is the approval of the adjustment to the district calendar. This is on page 17 of your board book. Can I have a motion for the Board of Education approve May 22nd, 2020 as the last day of student attendance for the 2019-2020 school year?
I'll move.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. This adjustment is being made in line with the governor's order and the State Board of Education guidance. This will be the last day of student attendance on May 22nd. The remainder of the school year, which will be the 26th through the 29th, will be used for teacher institutes and planning days to conclude this year and begin planning for next school year, especially in the event that we have to resume, remote learning. Does anyone have any questions or additional comments on this?
Dumb question. The teacher institutes are going to be virtual, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, dumb question.
Thank you. No problem. If there's nothing else, can we have a roll call, please, Mr. Faber?
Ms. Murphy?
Aye.
Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Mrs. Cerrito?
Aye.
Mr. Leonard?
Aye.
Faber, aye. Mrs. Borgen?
Aye.
Mr. Marin?
Aye. And the motion carries. Moving on to the approval of the 8th grade graduation planning. This is on page 18 of your board book. I will be making a slight modification to this motion, and I will explain after it's made. Can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve 8th grade graduation to be at 5 p.m. on Friday, May 29th, at the Chicagoland Speedway, noting that any changes would be communicated in a timely manner and that the graduation will take place in compliance with orders from the Illinois State Superintendent.
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. Quite literally, 15 minutes ago now, Dr. Raines received today's update and guidance from the Illinois State Superintendent. And the update appears, in a casual read, to prohibit drive-through graduations. The sentence is not extremely well constructed, so there is going to be a follow-up with the state superintendent to see if the intent was to bar any drive-through graduations, or if it was meant only to say that at a drive-through graduation, no one could get out of their cars to take pictures. The state superintendent's guidance was based on the fact that the governor's stay-at-home order, which will remain in effect through May, allows you only to go out for essential services and not to gather in groups of 10 or more, even if in cars. So we will get clarification from the state superintendent. Obviously, if this event turns out not to be in compliance with their guidance, Dr. Raines will come back to us with an alternate plan.
Thank you.
Any questions on that? Well, I mean, there's a lot of questions.
None that you can answer.
Yeah.
Well, in the plan, the student and their family would be photographed to get out of their car in the winner's circle, my understanding.
The student would not get out of the car.
Okay.
Are you still there? Yeah, the students would not be getting out of their car under the current plan. They would pull into the winner's circle, be able to retrieve a diploma, and have the picture taken of the family in the car in the winner's circle. And, of course, we would call the student's name, and the entire thing would be videotaped. But, again, we're working on the details, and we'll work on making sure it's in compliance. But this just gives the board green light if it is in compliance so that planning can move ahead.
Sounds good.
Okay. Anything additional on this?
I'm just glad that we have something for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Faber, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Ms. Murphy.
Aye.
Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Mrs. Serino.
Aye.
Mr. Leonard.
Aye.
Mr. Faber, aye. Ms. Borgen.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye. And the motion carries, and again, Dr. Raines will be following up, and she will be sharing the plans with parents, students, and the board as soon as anything is determined. Moving on to the approval of the 2020-21 Parents Student Handbook. This is on page 20 of your board book. Can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the changes to the 2020-2021 Student Parent Handbook as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. The changes are there in red line. You'll see that it includes just changes to the attendance policy. Tightening that up a little bit. Does anyone have questions or comments on that? Okay. Can we have a roll call vote, please, Mr. Faber?
Ms. Murphy?
Aye.
Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Mrs. Serino?
Aye.
Mr. Leonard?
Aye.
Your favorite aye. Mrs. Borgen.
Aye.
Mr. Murray.
Aye. And the motion carries. Moving on, we go to the determination of dates and times for regular board meetings. This is on page 21 of your board book. Can I have a motion that the meetings of the Board of Education during the 2020-2021 school year be conducted at 7 p.m. on the third Wednesday in January, February, March, April, May, September, October, November, and December, and the first Wednesday of the month in June and July, I'm sorry, in June and August with no scheduled regular July meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded, so we were able to accommodate and work with what Dr. Raines needed. We do not have a regular meeting in July, but don't get too excited until we get through the next motion.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions on that?
Thank you for accommodating my work schedule, Dr. Raines.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Can we have a roll call vote, please, Mr. Faber?
Ms. Murphy.
Aye.
Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Mrs. Storino.
Aye.
Mr. Leonard.
Aye.
Mr. Faber. Aye. Mrs. Borgans.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye. And the motion carries. The next item is the establishment of the board planning meeting, and this is on page 23. Can I have a motion that the Board of Education establish a planning session on Wednesday, July 22nd at 7 p.m. to review board goals, sub-goals, based on the status of the COVID-19 pandemic?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. This was actually Mrs. Borgen's idea. And the idea here is that a lot of the work that we did in February for planning may be altered as we make adjustments to go into the next school year based on adjustments that we'll need to make for the COVID-19 pandemic. We had a lot of questions during our last meeting about what we were going to have to do and not do. This will hopefully give the administration time to get additional recommendations from the state and then come back and give us a picture of what next school year will look like and let us know if there'll be impacts to the board goals.
I would just like to add, I appreciate that Dr. Raines and the administrators and everyone are taking the time to put this together. I think it will be very helpful since February. Wonderful meeting. It was basically for not now, unfortunately. So I appreciate the effort that we go into this meeting to help us understand what next school year will look like. I think it will be very helpful for everyone. So thank you.
Does anybody else have anything?
Yeah, I hate to be that guy. But
no, you don't.
No, I do. Because but is an evening going to be enough time to discuss whatever we need to discuss? And what I'm getting at is, should we consider scheduling this for a Saturday morning in case we need more than 2-3 hours?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So, my one suggestion here would be, what if we just schedule it in July, and once we get into June, we can pick a specific date, because I don't disagree that we may want to meet on the 18th or 11th, but once we see what the impact will be and exactly when the administration will have an update, I'm also fine with doing the 18th or the 25th if you prefer just to set a date.
I totally see your point because we've said meetings are only going to last two hours and I prefer not to be a district officer on my cell phone until midnight. I'd be in favor of moving it to the 18th.
To allow for that extra time, should there be extra discussion needed?
Okay, how about this? Can we table this to our next meeting? And the reason I want to table it is I'd just like to get administration input on the date. I don't want to just pick a Saturday and assume that everyone we need will be available.
Right.
So it'll give board members a chance to check their calendars and give the administration time to come back to let us know if, to be honest, it could be the 11th, 18th, 25th, whatever day works for them, and then we'll mess it up and find a date that works for as many people as we can accommodate.
That makes perfect sense.
Okay. Does anybody have an objection to tabling this, Ben?
No.
I have no objection.
Okay. Okay, we'll table that until our next meeting. And Dr. Raines, if you can work on seeing if we have a weekend day that we could facilitate that meeting.
I will do so.
Thank you. All right, and then moving on to page 24 in your board book, we've got a review of remote learning survey. There are two surveys that are outstanding. One survey is a survey conducted by the district of district parents, and the second survey is a survey that was conducted by the teachers union, the district's teachers union, to the district teachers. So as with the prior union survey that we had, I'd like to make a motion that we submit the survey results to the district legal counsel for review before distributing them to the board for review at our next meeting.
That's fine.
Can I have a second for that?
Second.
Okay. So we've got a motion and a second. Does anybody have an issue with that? I did speak to Mr. Nemenik, and he would be willing to take them on and review them simply because we don't want to have the administration responsible for scrubbing anything out, but we don't want to make it a public document without some review.
Fine.
Okay, can we have a roll call, Mr. Faber, please?
Ms. Murphy.
Aye.
Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Mrs. Storino.
Aye.
Mr. Leonard.
Aye.
Mr. Faber. Aye. Mrs. Borgen.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye. And the motion carries. That takes us through our action items. The main one was moving the calendar, and it takes us to the superintendent and staff reports. We have only one item on the agenda for update. In the emergency meeting that we held back in March, we authorized the bucket of spending. I believe it was up to $100,000 for the superintendent to spend related to addressing the COVID virus and the shutdown of the school. And the request has been made just to have an update on what portion of that money may have been spent and what it was spent on. It is in board book on page 25. And Dr. Raines, I don't know if you want to run through these four items quickly for anyone listening.
Certainly. Request for band instrument sanitation, which is approximately $4,000. The packing boxes and tape for $2,500 will help us solidify the retrieval of belongings from the schools to our students. The sanitation sprayers and spray, approximate cost of $24,500. This is currently a service provided from our cleaning service, Alpha. We would discontinue it and perform that sanitizing spray ourselves. In the follow the last item is PPE equipment, such as masks, at a cost of approximately $11,000. Those are the items, the four items to date, for that we're coming out of the discretionary spending for based on the COVID-19 closure.
Thank you for putting that together. I think it is very helpful to parents and taxpayers in the district to know where the spending was and how we've gone, and if we needed to approve any further spending to protect the students and staff going forward. So thank you for putting that together.
No, there may be some additional items as we move forward and learn more about some of the procedures that will need to be in place. In addition, perhaps some more PPE, again, just depending on the need. But right now, we're not halfway yet. We're at about $42,000, but I will keep you up to date on further spending.
Thank you.
Dr. Ring, the PPE, 11,000 for the masks. What were the masks used for? Are you saving them for the fall?
It's a combination, actually, Mrs. Murphy, that you order them in a bulk of, I think it's 10,000 masks. And what we're doing is when teachers come back in the building to retrieve their material, we're going to make sure they have a mask. Any support staff who is going to help with the collection of student belongings is going to have to have a mask. And then we don't know what to expect or anticipate this fall, and we don't know if our students will need a mask. So we erred on the side of caution while the supplies were available to us and ordered them.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Raines, I have a couple of questions. One is about the sanitation of the band instruments. Are those instruments kids going to take home now? Or
no, I believe those instruments are, Mrs. Coghlan either has those instruments at school or is in the process of collecting those instruments. She normally gets them cleaned and inspected. This is another step to her process to sanitize the instruments. And that would be the additional step of $4,000.
And then the mixing and all that stuff, we're sanitizing on a regular basis, or
what is it? Yes, the spray and the sanitizing mist that we're using right now is one that is done every other Friday because it has a two-week lifespan, if you will. And right now, every other Friday, every room in all of our buildings is sprayed with the mister, so that on Monday, if we were back in session, there would be nothing related to allergy-related things, you know, of that nature. So we would follow that same process moving forward once we receive the equipment and our custodians are trained on the equipment to do the spraying ourselves.
Okay. So I guess my question then is, the virus can't live for months and months. So rooms that aren't being used and band equipment that's not being used, you know, in 2 months, there's no way the virus could still be there.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff that we're not using, why are we cleaning constantly, I guess is my question. Is that a guideline that the CDC has put out, or is he, or are we just doing it?
Well, we're cleaning because we don't know. We still haven't closed our schools for the end of the year. So we want to make sure should someone come in that we have them disinfected and cleaned as best we can. I think following the end of the school year, then that would be a different story. But until we actually close out the school year, there's people in and out of the buildings for various reasons. And it's a quick in and a quick out and not in any high numbers at a time. But we just want to make sure that everything is clean and sanitized for our staff members who are entering the building.
Okay.
Dr. Rain, are you stocking up on hand sanitizer, too? I know it's really hard to get.
It's very, very difficult to get right now. We do have supply orders in. We just don't know when they're going to be filled. But prior to all of this happening in March, we were able to get hand sanitizer, in bulk, and we have scattered them about all the buildings by the water fountains. So we were at least that step ahead, but as far as the continuous supply, it's hard to come by right now.
Okay, just so they have it when you have the kids dropping their things off.
Correct. We have those available for those types of things because we have mobile units as well, and that would be part of our safety measures when anyone is entering our building.
And gloves?
The gloves as well. I know we have a stock of gloves. I just don't know how deep that stock is.
Okay.
Sorry, I was on mute there. Anything else, anybody? Okay. That takes us through action items and the superintendent staff report, and it takes us to public comments. I have one public comment that was received prior to the meeting. I will read that public comment as usual. I will read the public comment verbatim as it was provided. This one was provided by Mrs. Elena Gibson, and it reads as follows. The transition from brick-and-mortar schooling has highlighted how limited my access as a parent is to curriculum and individual work, other than a grade and comments I may find in power school. I suspect other parents have come to a similar conclusion. When did this become a password protected specifically to parents? It's my understanding administration at Summit Hill 161 has had discussions involving this very concern, and it is hesitant to give parents access to their own children's academic work. Does FERPA limit parents' access to academic records, curriculum, and schoolwork of minor dependents? What plans, if any, does the district have to address this looming issue in light of the responsibility parents have assumed in educating their own children? I'm not sure exactly what this is referring to. It says when did a password protected, but it doesn't refer to what is password protected. The only student records that the district shares via the internet would be through PowerSchool. Anything else may involve something accessible by the children on their tablet. But obviously the children would have the password to any of that. And if there's difficulty logging in, the child or the parent could contact the district to get a password. There is no other record that we keep password protected, and there is no law that limits parents' access to their students' records. It actually does the exact opposite. So I'm not sure what this is referring to or what's password protected, but I would just suggest that the person follow up with the teacher or school principal, and they can put you in touch with the IT area, which can supply any passwords that might be missing. Dr. Ring, do we have anything additional?
We do not. I just checked my inbox, and I don't see any more public comments.
Very good. With that, we have a future meeting date, May 20th, 2020. Again, that will be at 7 p.m. via teleconference. Information will be sent out prior to that call. At this time, can I have a motion that we adjourn?
I'll move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor, acknowledge by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any opposed?
Any opposed?
We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a good night.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good evening.